Hello and welcome to the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Sports Analytics Podcast. I'm Scott Tappa, director of the conference, and I'd like to invite you to attend our event June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. We have a fantastic speaker lineup taking shape. Please visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference to learn more. Today I'm speaking with one of our presenters, John Drazin. John is a biomedical engineering lecturer at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, and at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, John will deliver a talk titled, Using Analytics to Broaden the Appeal of Math and Science Among Youth. John, welcome.
All right, thanks for having me, Scott.
Great. So let's get right to your presentation synopsis, and I read it again while I was preparing some questions for this interview, and you wrote that you did not enjoy math or science in high school, but that your exposure to sports science and analytics transformed your perception of STEM. Do you remember that when that happened, or did it happen gradually over time, and you just looked up and said, hey, I didn't realize I was into math and science?
Yeah, so it was kind of funny because growing up, when I was a kid, I did well in math and science classes because my parents, frankly, expected me to. But it wasn't something I really enjoyed, and it wasn't until I was actually a senior in high school where things really clicked. So I was taking AP Physics from a guy who was an Olympic level swimmer, and so he was really into biomechanics. He talked about it in class all the time. But he actually came to one of my basketball games, and all I had to do was get the rebound, you know, and we'd win the game. And pretty much, long story short, the free throw went up, the ball came out, and I didn't get the rebound because I was playing too high. And I was really upset about it after the game, and he came up to me and said, John, you're obviously not paying attention to class. I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, you know what, like, John, you're obviously upset. How about you come in after school and we can talk about some biomechanics of rebounding? I said, all right, fine. So I came in, and then on the board, he started showing me about how mechanical advantage worked. And all of a sudden, I realized that I could actually use math and science as a competitive advantage in sports. So fast forward, I guess now it's 10 years later, which is weird. I played college basketball at SUNY Geneseo, and I studied physics, and I just finished up my doctorate in biomedical engineering at RPI, and pretty much I'm what I wanted to be, biomechanics researcher who focuses on content at a level like basketball.
So how did you apply that then? I mean, you did keep playing at a high level, after this, you know, powwow with your physics teacher. Was it in training? Was it in positioning on the court? Was it strategic at all? Tell me how you applied that knowledge.
I mean, the thing is that one of the beautiful things is that you can sit there and you can, and I tell this to the students I work with constantly, but you can apply math and science to literally every single facet of the game. So whether it's sitting there and, I mean, one of the fundamental activities in science is data collection. So sitting there and doing training programs and doing little mini experiments on yourself where you say, okay, I'm going to do this program. How much does my vertical jump increase? I'm going to do this program. How much does my bench increase? And then sit there and take notes and say, oh, I have increased my bench, but how does this affect my game? So at the end of the day, math and science is really just a way to ask and answer questions that you care about and then use that as a method to quantify your own performance and keep track of it. Because at the end of the day, if you're not collecting data on it, you're not going to be able to do anything.
Okay. So tell us about some of the projects that you've done with regard to sports analytics. Has it all been outreach to youth and something along the lines of what you're going to talk about at our conference, or have you done any, you know, sports specific studies on performance strategy, anything like that?
So one of the funny things is that the way I got involved in sports analytics in the class that I am in now, I'm the STEM director for Fourth Family Incorporated, which is a grassroots nonprofit based out of Albany, New York. And I was invited to be a coach and tutor by one of my old college basketball teammates. And so pretty much what ended up happening is that I realized that the kids had a lot of the players I was coaching had a ton of habits that I absolutely detested while we were playing. So for example, these kids would sit there and they'd dribble around for about 15 seconds and then take a contested long two. And the thing is that, like, I didn't even realize how frustrating it was to be a coach and why my coaches were upset all the time, because it's like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You know, you can't sit there and force people to make good decisions. So same thing with getting to the backside for rebounding, all these other things. And so I'd sit there and I'd say, oh, here are the statistics for doing this. And the students would be like, how do you know that? And I'd be like, well, here's how you actually calculate it. And they'd say, that's interesting. So the thing is that I was doing this at Albany High School in upstate New York, which at the time had over a 50% non-graduation rate primarily economically disadvantaged minority students. And so the thing is, the fact that we're engaging them in math and science through basketball was pretty extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is that that's really what got me involved in trying to do this, because honestly, I was a basketball player first and a basketball coach first. And the sports science and analytics stuff is a legitimate competitive advantage.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great story. Tell us a little bit more about Fourth Family then. You know, I've read some of the articles. Seems like just a great program. And after you tell us a little bit more, I mean, do you know of any similar programs like that around the country or even in your area that are engaging youth in STEM outreach using sports science?
So the thing is that, so Fourth Family Incorporated was incorporated by, was founded by two African-American gentlemen from Albany, New York in 2011. Pretty much they made it out of Albany using sports. Joaquin Hoke, who's one of the co-founders, played college football, and John Scott played college basketball. And I actually played college basketball with John Scott, which is how I became connected with the program. So pretty much they faced a lot of issues and challenges when they were growing up, and they wanted to create a program to sit there and try to help address these issues through sports. Pretty much in 2011, very, very tragically, one of John Scott's high school basketball athletes named Eddie Stanley was murdered. And pretty much that was a huge awakening for John, where he realized that he needed to build and like facilitate players' growth, like not just on the court, but off the court as well. Because Eddie had all of the physical skills to be able to make it out on a basketball scholarship, and his life was tragically ended over nothing. And it's just phenomenally tragic. And John used that though as a motivator to sit here and create this wonderful program. So as I said, I got brought in 2012 to sit there and be a coach slash tutor, because the kids needed to more or less be eligible so that they could play. And pretty much I fell in love with it, sitting there and really trying to make a difference in these kids' lives, because when you're working in the lab and when you're having the day-to-day grind of what it means to be an academic, you know, and being a scientist, it's very hard work. But at the end of the day, you sit there and you talk to the kids about it. And A, it's a very, very, it's working a very different part of your brain, you know, to sit there and relate these things. But also the kids say, wow, that's pretty cool. You just sit there and think about basketball all day and think about how people move. I'm like, yeah. And then that kind of convinced me that what I was doing was worth doing. So since Fourth Family was incorporated in 2011, we've worked with like 8,500 kids across the country. We've done a bunch of different really cool programs. We ran a basketball camp with LaMarcus Aldridge 2 summers ago called the LaMarcus Aldridge Skills Academy, where each one of the campers participated in a combine that was actually built by myself and the Albany High basketball. So we replicated the NBA rookie combine using Arduinos. So for about like $400, we were able to sit there and do almost pro-level sports science evaluations on all these campers. And the thing is that the campers, where I'll sit there and look at their stats and say, oh, this is what I need to improve on, and that's pretty amazing that you guys built this yourselves. But at the same time, our youth, the youth athletes who are volunteering with us as peer mentors and like STEM people, sat there and got to be viewed as experts by others in their community, which was really, really cool. A lot of those kids have gone on to college to study math and science, actually.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So if somebody out there is interested in learning more about Fourth Family or somehow contributing, getting involved, maybe starting something similar to that, where can they go for that, John?
Oh, so go to fourthfamily.org.
Okay. All right. Sounds
good. And on Twitter, I'm sports2stem. Okay. At sports2stem, where two is a number.
Okay, great. So you know, going back to what, you know, these kids who thought it was cool that you just sit around and think about sports all day, which, you know, maybe misreading the situation a little bit, but what makes sports such an effective gateway here rather than, you know, some other discipline like music or, you know, art or whatever? I mean, what makes sports so effective as that gateway to something that they may not think of as interesting, like math or science?
I mean, the very, very nice thing about sports is that there is a very, very well-defined goal. So the thing is that every basketball player wants to sit there and be better at putting a circular object into a hoop. And the thing is that, so there's a, and also preventing other people from doing that, you know? And the thing is that since everyone's united towards this common goal, it's really easy to develop curriculum that kids can be passionate about. So one of the primary challenges with doing this about like dance or music or a lot of other different cultural things is the fact that what makes a song good, you know, different kids are going to have different ideas of what good music is, you know, but the thing is, if you take a kid from Arizona, and if you take a kid from New York City, you sit there and say, who's a better basketball player? Whoever can play basketball better by the same rules is going to be more effective.
Sure.
And the thing is that the kids sit there and they get really excited about, like, the kids are motivated to get better. A lot of their heroes have sat there and made it out of their communities through sports. You know, there's like social pressure, like, or there's social reinforcement of the importance of sports. Okay. There's economic reinforcement. I get a lot of kids who just love video games who sit there and say like, oh, I love NBA 2K. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's a huge gateway into it as well. And the thing is that sitting there and saying we can make this better or make you better at this sport through, like, once again, I'm being completely serious, like through science makes you better at basketball. So, they're motivated to engage.
That's great. Good answer. Yeah. There's nothing subjective about it, right? Whether or not something is successful or good or not in sports. There's a winner or a loser. So, hey, talking a little bit more, you mentioned LaMarcus Aldridge before. I'd also have seen that you've worked with Emmanuel Mudiay, NBA player now with the Knicks, correct? Tell us about what you've done with him and, what other high profile athletes maybe that have expressed interest in working in this area to help kids get engaged in math and sport and math and science?
Yeah, so we were really fortunate to get in contact with them. One of the things that people realize as soon as they join the official basketball, well, not the official basketball community, but you know what I mean, as soon as you get involved in pro sports and you play basketball at a certain level, pretty much everybody knows everybody. So it's actually a really small world. So pretty much we got in contact with both LaMarcus and Emmanuel Mudiay through mutual connections that John Scott has. And pretty much they loved the idea. They came up to Albany, New York to run the camp with us. It was absolutely phenomenal. We have some very exciting things on the docket in terms of upcoming programs that we're running. One thing that we do have set in stone is that we're going to be running a really big program at NBA Summer League. Pretty much we're partnering with Warren Legarry and Albert Hall, who are the presidents of Summer League. We're going to be running a program for a group of youth from NBA, from junior NBA in Las Vegas, where pretty much they're going to learn how to do player evaluations and how to do other things related to STEM, like how to use biomechanics to analyze people, what makes somebody good, what type of statistics do we want to look at, et cetera. And they're going to go through this 3-day program that's going to culminate with them presenting their work and actually demoing the equipment that they build with us on the concourse for like 25,000 fans.
Oh, awesome. That's great. I'm excited. So that's what, starting in July then, I take
yep.
it?
Right? In July, yes.
Awesome. Cool. So, you know, going back to your teaching experience then and what you've done, what advice would you have for a teacher at any level, you know, let's say middle school and above, who would like to start incorporating sports science into their curriculum with their students teaching math or science?
So that's actually a really interesting question, Scott, because I actually don't really like using sports science in the traditional classroom setting. Because one of the big things is that kids' interests are heterogeneous. You know, there's going to be kids who love dance. There's going to be kids who love basketball. There's going to be kids who love anything. There's going to be kids who love Snapchat. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that if you sit there and if you get super duper focused on one topic, in class, you're going to alienate 80% of the kids.
Sure.
So something that I think is really, really fun that I've done for the vast majority of the work that I've done is running after school programs. So sit there and get kids who, you know, 10 kids were like, yo, I love basketball. And you can sit there and run a really meaningful program right after school. So I'm a big, big fan of the informal STEM learning environment.
Okay. Very good advice. Good advice. Speaking of advice, so what's one book, website, email newsletter, something like that, that you would recommend to our listeners to read? Could be about analytics, could be about something else entirely.
So I've actually been loving the History of Rome podcast recently.
Okay.
It's been awesome.
Okay.
But in terms of websites, I mean, I think NBA Reddit is amazing. NBA Reddit covers a ton of different information. If you make it past all the memes, okay, there's some really, really good content in there occasionally that are put up by people, and it's looking at basketball in a way that you would never imagine. And also Cleaning the Glass is really good by Ben Fong.
Sure, sure. So go back. What's History of Rome? Tell me about that. I haven't heard of that.
Oh, some crazy guy sat there and recorded like 130 hours of podcasts where he talks about the entire history of Rome in 20-minute increments.
Huh.
And it's like it's engaging. And I'm a history buff. Like, I'm a history nerd. So one of the things that I kind of realized is that when I decided to go from – so originally I wanted to be a history professor.
Okay.
When I was, like, growing up because I really liked history. But then once I was introduced to sports science, I was like, oh, I can be an amateur historian. I can't be an amateur sports scientist, you know, because I'm not going to know about enough calculus. But the thing is, I love history, and the History of Rome podcast is awesome. But, I mean, the thing is that he record, like, there's like, 200 episodes or something like that. So he literally goes through, like, every section of Roman history, and it's pretty interesting so far.
Yeah. That's a good recommendation. Out of curiosity, I mean, have you found any intersection of your interest there where you've looked at the history of sports science or the history of sports analytics and
I love the history of biomechanics. Mm-hmm. It is really, really cool. I mean, it starts off with like the Greek philosophers and then gets into like Galileo and all this other stuff. It's really, really interesting. I'm trying to think of, there's actually a real, there's a book called Restless Creatures that's all about how animals move. It's really, really interesting. I can't remember the author off the top of my head, but it's called Restless Creatures.
Okay, cool. Hey, John, thanks. I appreciate this. Again, you mentioned it before, but where can our listeners follow you on social media or online?
So my Twitter handle is sports2stem. So sports, plural, number two, and then stem. And then also Fourth Family is @fourthfam. And then fourthfamily.org is our website. So, and also I have a Medium blog. Just look me up, John Drazin. I've talked about a lot of this stuff.
All right. That's great. Make sure you check that out. Again, my guest today has been John Drazin of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. And at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, John will deliver a talk titled Using Analytics to Broaden the Appeal of Math and Science Among Youth. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me today, John.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity, Scott. See you soon.
Yep. And thank you for listening today. Again, the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference will be Thursday, June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference for details. And make sure to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at @analyticsconf. Thanks for listening.